Just turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 15 tonight. And isn't God's timing amazing? When you think about this, again, you know, as we've been preaching through the book of Proverbs, as far as messages, I've studied and prepared outlines many months in advance. And I think it's interesting in Proverbs 15, talking about this. The title of the message is The Question of Teaching. And we're in a day, let's be honest, where there is a constant flow of information, right? You turn on the TV, turn on the news, look on social media, whatever it is, there's a constant flow of information. And what's interesting to me is everyone says the other side is spreading misinformation. Right? If you're on this side, then this guy's spreading misinformation. If you're on this side, it's back and forth, misinformation. And so everybody is so skeptical. Or I would say this, Brother Johnny, maybe they're willing to embrace whoever they follow, right? Whatever they say. We hear, follow the science, follow the experts. Well, I promise you this, on whatever side you are on, you'll find an expert in science to back up what you want to believe. So I think it's more imperative now in the day we live that we are very much researchers and studiers, right? That we study things. We don't just believe things because someone posts something up. Same thing with the Word of God. We have to be like the Macedonians, where we have to be students of the Bible, study to show thyself approved. So Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 5 says this, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Notice in verse 6, the Bible said, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues, right, of the wicked in trouble is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. So let's focus on those few verses tonight and preach on this thought, the question of teaching, right? Because we honestly live in a day, even as we look at our kids, and they used to think that it was safe to send them to school and they would be taught writing, reading, and arithmetic, right? And they would learn and they would understand how to think and they'd understand history and they'd understand science. And now it's a totally different ball game. Now it's about showing them. Hannah's at Forsyth Tech, and she's taking a sociology class, and everything they're doing is about, she just finished up one thing about gender identity and about racism, you know. And it's like, it's not about education anymore, it's about indoctrination. It's about teaching them to think this way. And so we have to be very careful, because as I said, there's all kinds of information floating around today. There's a video here, there's a blog here, there's a website here, there's a YouTube video here, there's all these things going around. There's news 24 hours a day. And so you and I have to be very careful that we are taking in the right information, but also that we're able to discern the right information, right? And we're not looking at politics tonight, we're looking at doctrine. If we don't know our doctrine, and really, do you realize, I think that I read somewhere, it's either, Brother Ward, the Jehovah's Witness or the Mormons, the greatest number of converts they have are Baptists. Why? Because we are taught something, and if we're not careful, we don't know our doctrine, and so they come and they offer a question and we can't answer, and they know their doctrine, and they say, well, you know, if you don't even understand what you believe, and we'll say, well, maybe that's not what the Bible says. And all of a sudden, we're swayed in that direction. And so you and I have to be extremely careful that we understand the Bible and why we believe what we believe. It's amazing. I couldn't understand how anybody that can study their Bible could be a Calvinist. And really, anyone that studies their Bible cannot be a Calvinist. You don't become a Calvinist by knowing your Bible. You become a Calvinist by reading other men's writing. And so now we live in a day that the value of studying the Word of God has been diminished, and the word of listening to other men has been exalted, right? And he just mentioned it, J. Vernon McGee. I've read his commentaries for years. I've listened to his broadcast. But isn't it interesting that we have people, that, and they'll talk, and Brother Tim, they'll say, man, you need to listen to this preacher. Listen to this message. Listen to this guy. He's on fire for God. Man, and a lot of times what we're saying is, I like this catchphrase, or I like this illustration. And sometimes it is that they're preaching a Bible message, and thank God for that. But we need to be very careful that we don't get sidetracked on personality and led down the wrong road of false doctrine, and we just embrace the true Bible teaching and preaching of the Word of God. So it is probably more important today than ever to make sure that information is true. And so it is easy to be sucked into false doctrine because things sound good or sound right. So the Bible alerts us here to be careful. And how does it alert us to be careful? I'll give you three things tonight. First of all, it talks about true wisdom. In verse 5, the Bible said, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." And so here, true wisdom, it talks about what the rejection of instruction. The word fool means this: one who acts contrary to sound wisdom, preferring temporary pleasure to eternal happiness. Did you get that? One who acts contrary to sound wisdom, preferring temporary pleasure to eternal happiness. And how do you define that, preacher? I'd say that we have lost the ability to study this wisdom, and so therefore we want to hear what will make us happy here. May I say this, that the pleasure of this world is temporary. We were going to eat the other night, and I told Miss Ellen, I said, "You know what I'm finding myself as I'm becoming, as I get older, I'm becoming more of a minimalist. I'm going through my closet just about every week, and I'm like, I don't even wear that. I don't need this. I went and got rid of some shoes the other day. I had a pile of shoes in the floor, and I'm like, I got all these shoes I don't even wear." And I said, "I'm coming to the realization I probably need a couple dress shirts, a couple suits, a lot of boots." Amen. That's all right to have boots. And hunting stuff. And that's about it, right? Because why? We get so enamored with all the things of this life, right? We got to have more of this and more of this and more of this. And so the Bible says that God will provide our need, right? And if we're not careful, we start straying away from what God teaches us. And we start saying, "Well, I've got to have this, and I've got to have this, and I've got to have this education." You know what's interesting to me? There was a time when if you didn't have a college education, you weren't going to get a good job. That ain't the case anymore. I would rather my kids, I better be careful, Hannah, close your ears, not go to college and live for God than I would to have 55 degrees and make millions of dollars and get away from God. Because here's what happens. We get so enamored by money, popularity, prestige, we forget that one day all of this is going to end. Right? And so here, the Bible is full of our Father's instructions, yet we want to read other things and study other things and watch other things that are not true. Let God be true and every man a liar. And we stay away from the Word of God, and we're anemic Christians, and we're led to and fro, right? We're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Most Baptists don't know what they believe and why they believe it, except I was grew up in a Baptist church, or my preacher said this. Listen, if I'm not saying what the Bible says, you shouldn't listen to the preacher, right? We ought to be so grounded in the Word of God that we hear and we know when we hear false doctrine. So here the Bible is full of our Father's instructions, and how we embrace His Word shows our wisdom or foolishness. Listen, here's what I found, Brother Jimmy. I've been doing this a little while. And the same people come to me with the same problems time after time, and they're talking about all how awful their life is and how bad things are, and pray for me, I'm in this storm, and what's going on? Well, this is going on. Well, didn't you just face that a few years ago? I did, preacher. When's it going to change? Am I making sense? Some of y'all look at me like a calf at a new gate tonight. See, if you're not willing to live by the Word of God, you're not going to get the results of living for God that you think you should get. You can't cherry pick parts and say, "Well, I want to live by this part, I don't want to live by this part." You got to take the instruction manual, and you got to try to live according to the Word of God to get the results of what you want out of the Word of God. So here, same people over and over, "Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me." So here's my question. You've been saved 25 years. Been saved 30 years, still going through the same problems you went through the first year that you got saved. You still want everybody to pray for you. I'm going to get rough, so get ready. When are you going to be the person that other people can call you and say, pray for me? Amen, that's good preaching. At some point in time, you've got to get off the milk and get on the meat and be one of those Christians that people call on you to say, pray for me, help me with this, and stop always being the one who is in need, right? And how do we do that? We start with the wisdom of the Word of God. When you reject the instruction God gives you, the results will never be what you want spiritually. So there's rejection of instruction, but then the contrast is this in verse 5. The Bible said, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Now that doesn't sound like what we hear today, does it? Today it's about this. Well, you don't want to make anybody mad, right? You don't want your kids to have an inferiority complex, right? You've got to always speak positive things, right? You always have to build up, right? And there is that. The Bible tells us we're to edify, okay? Brother Ward mentioned that in his presentation. Part of the job of the pastor is to edify, right? But the Bible gives us, the Bible said here, he that regardeth reproof is prudent. So what is that reception of instruction? The word reproof means blame expressed to the face. Blame expressed to the face. So here, according to Scripture, he that regardeth blame expressed to the face is prudent. What does that mean? Wise. When we're willing to hear negativity, what we consider negative, right? The Bible says this, Brother Jimmy, the Bible says that the pastor is to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Two-thirds negative, one-third positive, right? I'm not reproving you from my opinion. If I give you God's word and it reproves you, then that is God reproving you, right? And so the wise men will accept that reproof from the word of God and realize God's not trying to hurt him. He's trying to make him more like Christ. And the Bible said that person is wise. Listen, if you've never been taken to the woodshed by the Holy Ghost of God, you don't know what reproof is. God is trying to shape us into the image of his Son. And so here, accepting correction. You know, there's people, Brother Jimmy, honestly, that you pastor, and you want to go to them and say, you know what, here's something that I see that would help you. But Brother Bobby, in the back of your mind, you've seen them and you've watched them and you're going, but if I do that, they're going to get their dander up, and they're going to be mad, and they're going to say he's picking on me, and it's almost like you can't approach them and try to help them by correcting them. I ain't talking about being mean to them. I'm talking about, you know, here's the thing. You got all these problems, right? Preacher, I got the problem. Okay, well, you know what? Here's a start. Why don't you try this? Why don't you try being at every church service? Why don't you come to Sunday school, right? Why don't you got financial problems? What's this? Why don't you tithe? Or here's a good idea. Go to work. If you're not, right? If you work, go to work. One old man said this, best place you can go when you need money is to work, right? Go to work. Then learn to give. Learn to give to missions, right? Well, preacher, I just seems like all the time church is wanting my money. There's your problem. It ain't yours. Say you care about winning people to Christ, and I say all the time, Brother Eddie, I just want to see people saved. There's a man that is going to go see people saved in California that you can be a part of, but you won't give a dime to mission, so you're not a part of it. Man, you're getting the results, not even having to go. And so we have to receive instruction. When the Bible gives us instruction, we have to receive it. If we accept correction, we're wise. I'll give you an example, right? So a year ago, I got I told you this story. I won't go into the whole thing. I just got fed up with my clothes didn't fit, and I was miserable and couldn't sleep. And I went and talked to my friend who's a trainer. I'm like, I want you to train me. He's like, well, here's what it's going to be. I said, okay. He said, you got to sign up till November. You got to make a commitment. All right, do that. You got to come work out with me every day. All right, I'll do that. And then I'm going to hold you accountable to what you eat. And I was like, whoa, whoa. I don't know if I like that all that much. But I'd get up every morning, Brother Ward, and there'd be a message. And I knew if I didn't eat what I was supposed to eat, if it didn't work out, if it didn't do these things, he was going to tell me, that ain't right. So you know what it did? It held me accountable. You know what else it did? It helped me to achieve the results that I wanted. You with me? See, and that's our flesh. Our flesh does not want to hear that we are wrong. Our flesh does not want to be corrected. Our flesh, all it wants to hear is everything's fine, you're doing great. But friend, if we're not doing great, God needs to correct us and show us how we can be better, right? So here it is. If we accept correction, we are wise. God is trying to make us better, not bitter. Don't get bitter, get better, right? I want to be a better Christian today than I was yesterday, and I want to be a better Christian tomorrow than I am today. That's called improvement. And friend, let's be honest, we're okay, Brother Tim. I'd say the general population of Christianity is okay just being where they're at. You're not going to stay where you're at. You're either going up or down. You're not staying in neutral, right? So here it is. We have to receive instruction. Number two, the Bible talks about true wealth. The Bible said in verse 6, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. So what does it deal with? It deals, first of all, with righteousness. And the Bible says that righteousness in the house of those who are living right, living for God, the Bible said there's much treasure. Well, here's what I want to say. Doing right according to the Bible pays off. Doing right according to the Bible. Not what my flesh thinks is right. Listen to me, church. But what the Bible teaches me is right is profitable for me. Right? So there is profit in doing right. You say, well, how do I know what's right? Well, there again, we go back to the first point, true wisdom, the Word of God. Well, what if I don't want to do right? Well, the Bible said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. So there we have no excuse for not doing right. And we need, let's be honest, ready? I'm gonna get you. We need as Christians to be people of character. You say you're gonna do something, you ought to do it. Yeah, but if I do it, it's gonna cost me. Well, doesn't matter, right? If you say you're going to do it, you should do it. If you say that you're going to do it for a certain amount of money, you should do it. Well, but I'll lose. No, you gain because people can trust you, right? I know the day we live. I ain't talking about being like the world. I'm talking about being like God. How much confidence would you have in God if one word of this Bible was incorrect? Well, then why do you and I get a pass on living our life in the flesh, doing whatever we want, making commitments, and, oh, wow, by the way, I just couldn't come, right? If you sign up, I'm going to go ahead and hammer it down. If you sign up to come to something, you ought to come to it. If you sign your kids to come up to something, they ought to come to it. Well, they decide they didn't want to come. I don't care. When they get up and decide they won't go to school, what do? Kick them out the door and throw them on the cheese wagon. Right? Why? Because you don't want to deal with them. If you commit to something, y'all do it. So these treasures the Bible talks about are this: peace, prosperity, not the world's prosperity, but living for God, peace, prosperity, protection, and character. Brother Jimmy, I'm not going to get a lot of shouting on this message. I can tell that. That's all right. The Bible also talks about revenues in verse 6. But in the revenues of the wicked is what? Trouble. So earning for wickedness is destruction. Right? You say, well, if I had this, this, and this, If I had the lottery, if I won that, you know, whatever. Whatever. You're better off taking your money, flushing it down the toilet, than going to spend $2 or $1 or whatever them lottery tickets are. Just flush. And tell you what, if you want a return on your investment, give it to the Lord. Right? Yeah, but preacher, here's the deal. If I play that lottery, right, if I give them a dollar, I might win millions. You hadn't won it yet. Or if you are, you're a thief. I hadn't seen hundreds of thousands of dollars coming into the treasury of the church. You ain't going to win. But in our minds, see, the devil does this. He says, well, here's a shortcut, right? Instead of taking your money and putting it in an investment and saying, I want to invest for long term, we're saying, man, if I can just spend that extra $5 a week buying this ticket and doing this and this, and here's a sure thing, and here's a scheme that's going to work, and I saw this on TV, and I read this thing, and this, you better watch it. There's no shortcuts. And so those who are unethical in their dealings are constantly looking over their shoulder for trouble. If you're a business person, you know what you ought to do? Act ethical. If you're a consumer, you know what you ought to do? Act ethical. Right? Yes. You say, well, it's not my fault they messed up. I think that's just God giving me the advantage. No. If they mess up and it profits you and it's not right, you ought to go back and say it's not right. Absolutely. Praise God. Well, I don't agree with that. Don't care if you agree with it. The Bible said here, the revenue of the wicked is trouble. How many times you got, all right, I'm going to go ahead. How many times you got too much change somewhere and you walked out and go, huh, my lucky day. No, you're a thief. What you should have done was take the money back in there and say you gave me too much money. I may have to go to California with you. I may get run out of North Carolina before it's all over. It's the truth. But you know why? Because our flesh is saying, no, it's not your fault. That's their fault. It's their fault they messed up, so therefore you just profited. No, it's stealing. Good preaching. Amen. So here it is. When we do things unethically, we're running from trouble that will eventually catch up to you. Let me tell you something. You can rip off the KGB, the IRS for a little while, but they're going to catch you. You can rip off the bank for a little while, but they're going to catch you. You can play that scheme of I'll take this and pay this guy, and then I'll take this and pay this guy, but eventually it's going to catch you. So what we better start doing is God's people start acting ethically and doing business ethically and dealing with finances ethically. And the Bible said here that true wealth comes from peace, right? When you can pillow your head at night, know that you did the right thing today. It may have cost you some money, praise God. There's a peace that passeth all understanding to people that do things ethically. That's why our politicians can't sleep. Amen. So there's true wealth. And then finally, look at verse 7. This is good. Man, I love Proverbs. I do. You know why? Because God's saying, here's some little areas of your life that you can improve on, right, that'll make your life better. And you know what we're saying? I don't like it. I think it's boring. Well, you know why? Because we like to hear about, well, God blessed with this and God did this. We don't like the Bible or preaching when it says we have to do something. Amen. Look at verse 7. The Bible said the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. So here's the true words, right? The Bible tells us this, we are to speak things that are helpful. Words that are helpful. What is helpful? So a wise person speaks things that are helpful to people. Here's, all right. Watch this. God does not mince words. You know what God does? He gets straight to the point with what's going to help you. What you have in your Bible is not every thought of God. It is the things He wanted to tell us. Right? If you had every thought of God, there would not be enough paper and pen to pen everything. So what we have in that collection of 66 books is what God wants to tell human beings. When you pray, let's be honest, we get flowery with our wording. Maybe what we need to do is get to the point, right? When we preach, get to the point. I know preachers that brag about, I can't preach in under an hour. You could if you cut out the 15 to 20 minutes of fluff you put in it, right? I don't know how long I'm preaching. I just preach till I'm done, right? I'd rather preach 10 minutes and give you a bunch of information that'll help you than I would spend an hour and say, man, I'll tell you what, I preached an hour a night. And so what? See, we need to get to the place where we understand we need to speak things that are helpful. Brother John, we talk about all kinds of stuff, right? We talk about the weather, and we talk about football and basketball and fishing and hunting, and we never get to the things that are helpful to people. There's a world out there that needs help. There's a world that needs the gospel, and we never tell them about it. We'll tell them about everything else. We'll talk about our kids and grandkids and, you know, how much we can't stand the president and how bad gas prices are and how bad lumber prices are, and we'll talk about everything in the world. We'll never get around and tell them what they need most. How much help are God's people being to a lost, dying world when we won't even tell them the solution? How many would like to go to a doctor? And you spend an hour in there with a doctor. You won't go to my doctor and spend an hour, but they're in and out. They say, here, look at that. What's wrong with you? Okay, here's a few vital signs. They'll write something and say, take that. Oh, okay, I'll throw it in the trash. If you can't spend but 5 minutes with me and you're going to give me a pill, I don't want what you got. But I also don't want to spend an hour in there asking about my childhood, my great-great-great-grandma, and him tell me all about his family and, you know, how he likes to fly fish. I don't want to know all that. I came for you to tell me what's wrong. Amen. Right? So let me ask you this. If he didn't tell me what was wrong, was it helpful to me? Not at all. The people you're around, are you being helpful? Are you being helpful? Are you giving them truth? Again, let me say this. We need to be careful with that because I know how independent Baptist folks are in North Carolina, Brother Ward. I don't know how they are in California. But there is an arrogance about us to where we think, well, bless God, I just give them peace of my mind. Bless God, I just tell them the truth. I don't just tell them the harsh truth is what I tell them. That's not what your Bible told you to do. Well, you woke up, didn't you? That's not what your Bible told you to do. Speak the truth in love. Are you being helpful when you speak to people? All right? So, a wise person speaks things that are helpful. Our words have impact. Wise words flow from a pure heart. When your heart is pure, your desire is to help people, right? Listen, I don't get up here and preach because I don't have anything else to do. I don't do it so I'll get a paycheck, right? I mean, reality of it is, if I was doing it for a paycheck, there's other ways to make more paycheck than you do preaching, right? So it's not about it. I want to help you, right? If you set my office, I don't counsel with people just to be counseling and say, well, I've counseled with this many people. It doesn't matter. That doesn't impress me. I want to help you. And if I can't help you, I'll try to send you to somebody that can help you. There's no pride in how many people you talk to and how many people you counsel. What it is helping people get to the Savior, helping people with their walk with God. So here the Bible does in verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. You speak truth. You speak knowledge. You don't speak nonsense, right? Be careful with what you say because you have a sphere of influence that are following you, and when you say things, they're going to listen. They're going to do what you tell them to do. So make sure you tell them the right thing. Then the Bible deals with this, what is hurtful. But the heart of the foolish doeth not so. So destruction comes from an evil heart. When you're tearing down, we dealt with this Sunday. When all you're doing is tearing down, negative, tearing down, tearing down, tearing down this church, tearing down this preacher, tearing down this person at work, tearing down your wife, your husband, your family, whatever it is, whenever you're tearing down, my friend, that is not wisdom. That is not God, right? The fact is, like edification flowing from a righteous man, destruction flows from a wicked heart. I'll tell you what's going on today. I'll tell you what's going on in our country right now. Now, I'm not talking about Democrat, Republican. I'm talking about those jacklegs in Washington. But Justin, they're destroying. It's destruction. They're trying to tear this country down. They're trying to tear down the precepts and principles, the pillars. You don't have freedom of speech, you won't have freedom of religion. That's what they're doing. Everything is hurtful, right? Everything you see on the news seems to be hurtful. All the ones you follow, I don't care if you follow Fox News or Communist News Network, CNN, doesn't matter to me. It's the same thing, negative. What we have to do, folks, if we want to see the world change, is we have to be like Christ. And to be like Christ, we have to speak true words. We have to speak words that are helpful and stay away from the words that are hurtful, right? Stop tearing everybody down. Now, I'm not saying, listen, your mom was one of the smartest ladies you'll ever meet when she said, can't say something nice? Exactly. You had the same, they all read out of the same manual, didn't they? Why? Because our flesh wants to destroy and tear down. Wickedness wants to destroy and tear down. You ready for this? You know why people talk bad about the church? They get mad, leave church. You know what they do? They walk out the door and they start going, I'll tell you what's wrong with that church. I'll tell you what's wrong with that pastor. I'll tell you what's wrong with that deacon. I'll tell you what's wrong with that. You know what they're doing? Destroying. You know why? Well, listen, they got hurt in the church. I don't care. I've got hurt in the church. Anybody else got hurt in the church? How many of you got hurt in the playground and still went to the playground when you was in school? They're being used by the devil to destroy the local church. And you know what we do? We give them a pass. Oh, well, they just got hurt. And that's their opinion. Well, who cares? That's not truth. Speak truth. There's a certain situation, Brother Ward, with a mission board, director, whatever, I don't know. Some guy called me, preacher called me, you heard about this? I've heard about it. What do you think? I don't. What do you mean you don't? This is awful. I said, number one, you don't know if it happened. Number two, if this were you, you'd want the benefit of the doubt. And number three, it don't involve me. Doesn't involve me. Listen to what I'm saying. It doesn't involve me. It's not going to change what we do at Currytown Baptist Church one bit. It's not going to change what we do in Lexington, North Carolina. It's not going to change our impact in this community. I'm not involved with it. You with me? I'm minding my own business. Wouldn't it be good if everybody mind their own business? Wouldn't it be good if everybody stopped trying to destroy everybody to build them up and just said, hey, I'm gonna build you up? Because it's helpful. I want to be helpful to you. But watch this. You need to be helpful to each other. It's amazing to me. How many times, Brother Jimmy, I've preached on the tongue and how we ought to edify each other. And then I'll see somebody or hear somebody. It's like, hadn't got out the door good. And then they'll say, oh, pray for me. Pray for me, Brother Ward. I got all these storms I'm going through and all these problems. And so you didn't listen to the word of God. And so things are not going the way you want them to go. But now you want people to pray for you when you did not follow the instruction manual. That's interesting, isn't it? Because here's what we do. I'll close with this. Ladies, you're much better at this than we men are. We get something, got to be put together. They may as well have just not put the paper with instructions on it. May as well just save the paper. Because we're not going to use it. And so we get done and it looks all jacked up. Doesn't look like the picture. And we got extra pieces and parts. And we figure, not that we did something wrong, but the manufacturer gave us too many parts for what they decided we needed to put this thing together. Then we get frustrated, right? I remember we put Luke's baby crib together. It took forever because I didn't do the instructions. And here's what we did. Finally got together. Brother Johnny, I should have built it in the nursery because it wouldn't fit through the door. So I'd take it all apart, take it in there. But by the time I built it in the nursery, didn't take me no time at all because I'd already practiced building it four times before that. And so my wife, in her edifying voice, said, "Did you read the instructions?" "I don't need to read the instructions. It's pretty basic, right? Pretty simple. This goes here, go here, go here. Should have read the instructions." I didn't want to read the instructions. So would it have been all right for me to tell her after I didn't read the instructions, didn't do what the instructions said, to say, "You know what, honey? You need to have some sympathy for me, and you need to make me feel better about myself. And it's not my fault I didn't read the instructions. It's really somebody else's fault." No. Why? Because I was too dumb to read the instructions they gave me. But that's what we do when it comes to the Bible. We won't read the instructions, and then we want all this sympathy from people to say, "Oh, I just don't know why all these bad things are happening to me," because you're not living by the Word of God. Wisdom tells us, God said to do it. He knows more than we do. I'm going to do it God's way. Pride says, I'm going to do it my way, and I want God to bless it. And then when he doesn't, we whine and cry like a bunch of kids about why it's not fair, life's not fair. Folks, it's pretty simple. If you want God's blessings on your life, you have to do it his way. So be careful of the teaching that you follow in every area of life, because there's a lot of false prophets, and there's a lot of false doctors, and there's a lot of false politicians, and there's a lot of people that are not in it for your best interest. They're in it for themselves. And the Bible says the wise man, right? We're seeking truth. Even when it hurts, we're seeking truth. And as you embrace that truth, you start getting better, more like Christ, more in the image of Christ. Romans 8:28, right? But we've got to be honest with ourselves, and we've got to follow the teachings of the Word of God. Let's stand together. I know Wednesday night we normally come around the altar, but I want Miss Susan to come play. God spoke to your heart tonight, you come. Maybe there's some areas of your life that you look at and say, "You know what? I need to stop living by my wisdom. Start living by God's wisdom." You mind the Lord. I tell you what, if I did things my way, Brother Eddie, there's a lot of things in life that would be different. And they may seem right for a little while, but in the end, God's always right. Believe it or not, God loves you. He doesn't want to see you hurt. He doesn't want to see you in a mess. And this Bible is God's love letter to you and me. If we'll just learn to follow it. Not wisdom, our wisdom, not common sense, not what I think, but what God says. And I believe 95% of our problems will be alleviated if we just do what God says. Maybe 100%.